to receive you and your message, Jesus. And I also pray for their family, God, as they go through these transitions, that they would just follow where you want them to go, God, and that it would all be about bringing the glory and honor back to you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
As we continue our worship this morning, I want to read to you a passage from Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, it's talking about really the crux of the gospel. He says, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time." And that is a good word this morning. Something that I feel like the Lord has been speaking to my heart is that there is no striving in the love and the freedom that he offers. It's something that we don't have to get exhausted from, but that we can rest in. But I think the reality for myself and for so many of us is to come to the point where we get to the cross of Christ that symbolizes this sacrifice. And we lay ourselves down, we accept that that atonement for our sins, and then we pick ourselves back up, we walk on the other side of that cross, and we still pretend like we have to earn God's favor. We still pretend like we have to earn God's forgiveness, when the reality is we come to the cross of Christ and we recognize that we are not good enough on our own, but that God was good enough, and it's not something we have to continually do, though we should be reminded of it. But it's good for all time, and that is good, and that is worth celebrating. And so will you join us as we sing the song of praise, not resting, not striving in what we can do on our own, but resting in the grace and the glory of God and the freedom that he offers to us. Will you sing this out with us?
Was once for all, the Father gave his Son, and forever we are changed by the miracle of grace. Throughout history, the Father's light remains.
We sing this out.
Praises arise endlessly. Perfect love, and your kingdom is at hand, and the gates of hell won't stand. Now in victory we lift our song again, and we sing praises around. We are ready, we are ready. We're crying out for more. In your presence, we come alive. Open up the doors. We are ready. We are ready. We're crying out for more. In your presence, we come alive, God. So open up the doors. We are ready. We are ready. We're crying out for more. In your presence, we come alive. So God, open up the doors. We are ready. We are ready. We're crying out for more. In your presence, we come alive. Praises arise. Endlessly we lay our lives before the King who was, who is. His love will always be the hope for all eternity. We are ready, we are ready. We are ready, we are ready. One more. We are ready, we are ready. We are ready, we are ready.
Father, we are so thankful for you, for the sacrifice that you made so that we can rest in you. Thank you for this gift of eternal life. You really are amazing, and we love you. And everybody said, amen, amen. You guys can have a seat here, and if you're at home joining us, we are so glad that you're here. It is so good to be back. I really am so excited about being here today. I got to join in last week for the first time, but then to have the privilege to actually be on the teaching platform this morning, I really am excited today. If you don't know, my name is Rick. I do get to be the lead pastor here, and Zoe's my wife, we were able to go away, take all of our vacation time all at one shot, and so we have been gone for 4 weeks, and it really was amazing. We can clap for that. I'm sorry for those of you who don't get to do that. I really do count it a privilege. It really was a privilege. And here's what we did. I'm going to catch you up on my vacation really quick. So we were able to go to Nashville, Tennessee. All my family lives in that area, so we hung out with my family, my mom and my dad. To be able to spend the kind of time with my parents, it was special. We didn't know if my mom was going to make it through until the springtime. And so just knowing in the back of my mind that this, you know, could possibly be one of the last times I get to spend this kind of extended time with her. And so it really was. It was special. She had a really hard winter and spring, but by God's grace, she's doing amazing. And my sister and her family live there. My cousins, my aunt, you know, they all live in this area. So we got to hang out with them in Nashville area. And then for 4 days, Zoe and I went to San Antonio, Texas to hang out with my son, Jonathan, who's in PA school down there. And it was so good just to kind of see him in his space there and to meet some of his buddies. And so it really was good, but there was a highlight, and this is what I want to share with you. Why we were in the Nashville area, we took 3 days, and all of us, I think there were 15, 17 of us, all of us went up to the Smoky Mountains for 3 days and rented a cabin, I mean a huge cabin, and it had 3 stories. And on the backside, it was built right into the mountain. And on the backside of the cabin, when Zoe and I came out of our bedroom door, there's a deck on all 3 levels. There's a deck the whole size, that went the whole way of the back of the cabin on all 3 levels. And in Zoe and I's bedroom, we were able to walk right out. And every morning, we were able to walk out and see a view like this, right in the middle of the Smoky Mountains. And it was amazing. We got got to experience a sunset that, you know, this picture doesn't do its justice, but having that sunset over God's creation and just to be able to experience that with my family was amazing. And even Zoe's brother, Ward and Samita, flew in for this time and brought Austin and Sophia with them. In fact, Ward's not pictured there because he's taken the picture, but that's us on that deck, you know, overlooking the mountains. And we were doing exactly what this series talks about, getting away to get closer. And that's what we did. My mom, this is my mom with her granddaughters. This is my niece and two of my daughters. They were able to spend time with their grandma and build that relationship and just get closer. And my mom has this infectious laugh that throughout the cabin you could hear her laughing, and you just start laughing. You have no idea what's going on down there, but you just laugh because that's my mom. And my kids and my niece got to connect with her and enjoy that extended time. And as we got away, we got closer. We came back, and you know, we had to do the whole, Zoe and I got tested like right away the very first morning that we were back. We were down there getting tested, and we self-quarantined and all that. But how many days later, we were hanging out with Austin. I was in the backyard with Austin, my nephew, who was there with us. And he says, you know, Uncle Ricky, that was the best vacation I ever had. Because he just got to get closer to his cousins. We got to get closer to each other. And that is exactly what we're talking about in this series, about getting away to get closer. And that not only do we need to do this in that physical sense and emotional sense, but we need to do this spiritually. And we get away to get closer to God and to rest in Him. This is important, and this is why our bottom line today that we are focusing in on is this idea right here. Living the best life possible means living in the rhythm of Sabbath. You know, I was living the best life possible there for those 4 weeks. I mean, it couldn't have got any better. You know, in the Smoky Mountains, boating, four-wheeling. I mean, food. My sister made my favorite meal, chicken and dumplings. Oh, my goodness, it doesn't get any better than this, right? It was amazing. It was living the best life possible, taking naps. I must have slept for the first 5 or 6 days straight. In fact, my sister says, do you ever wake up, you know? And reading, and as I'm reading, I'm just contemplating God. This is the life that we were created for. This is living the best possible life. And living the best possible life means that we live in this rhythm called Sabbath. So let's define Sabbath first. Sabbath means rest. Sabbath means to cease from work, and this is important, to cease from paid and unpaid work. Do you do that? Do you incorporate, do you live in some type of rhythm of a Sabbath where you cease from both paid and unpaid work? Now, I love what Pete Scazzaro wrote a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church and then The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And in his book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, he defines a biblical Sabbath like this. He says, the biblical Sabbath is a 24-hour block of time in which we stop work, enjoy rest. Did you hear that? Enjoy rest. I know this is hard. I know it's hard to enjoy rest. I get that. I'd hear Zoe say, can you just sit down and rest, right? When we got back, I'm like, man, we got to do this. We got to fix this. I got to do. Can you just enjoy rest? A biblical Sabbath is enjoying rest and practice delight. Go four-wheeling. Go boating. Do you love to read? Then read. But in your rhythm of Sabbath, that you practice delight, and then throughout it, you contemplate God. You start your day off contemplating, connecting with God, the creator of the Smoky Mountains. And then you end your day contemplating God as you lay in bed. You pray back to God. Say, God, thank you for this day of resting in you. Now, here's what I want us to see. Because sometimes this idea of Sabbath can become very legalistic. But what I want you to see is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2. Then Jesus said to them, and in fact, go ahead and take your Bibles because this is where we're going. So Mark chapter 2, we're jumping down into our text, but I want to bring this out about Sabbath. I think this is important. The Sabbath was made, this is Jesus' words, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. You see, you were wired. God created you with this wiring for this need of Sabbathing. He created you that way. He modeled this in the very beginning, in Genesis, in all the creation. He's like, out of 7 days, you need to unplug one day. God himself modeled this to just enjoy all that was there. And then in the Torah, in the Old Testament, it became this ritual. It became this Jewish practice. Our Jewish friends, many of them still practice this to today. And in fact, many times in the scripture, in fact, I haven't found a time yet, so I want to say 100% of the time, but we'll say 99.9% of the time. Every time you see the word Sabbath in the scriptures, it's referring to the Jewish mindset and the Jewish culture, and that's Friday at 6 p.m. until Saturday at 6 p.m. That's that 24-hour block of time. And they got really legalistic about this. But as New Testament Christ followers, as we follow Jesus, Jesus did practice a Sabbath. He did model that, but he said this, that the Sabbath was created to meet our needs. It wasn't that people were created to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So what he's saying is we are to live from a Sabbath and not for the Sabbath, and there's a big difference. That our Sabbath rest should propel us into the week, and that you're not trying to catch your breath in the day of rest, but that you're just resting in him, in our Savior, in Jesus. Knowing and understanding that he's got it. You don't have to work 7 days a week. You're declaring your dependence upon God. You're declaring your dependence upon Jesus and that he's got it and that he is in control and that you don't have to be. And you can just sit back and let God continue to reign and to rule. Also, we don't need to get hung up on the day. We just need to make sure there is a day. Did you hear me on that? We don't need to get hung up on the day. We just need to make sure there is a day. In Romans, and you can write this down, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul makes that very clear, and he does the same thing in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And here's in summary, what he says is there isn't one day that is more holy than another. So did you hear that? There's not one day that's more holy than another. But everybody needs to have that one day where we're Sabbathing. Do you? And do you online? Do you take time to Sabbath? Jesus modeled this idea of getting away. He modeled this idea of connecting with God the Father. In Mark 1:35, it says, before daybreak, early in the morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. You see, Jesus modeled that even he needed to get to disconnect from everything else. He needed to find that isolated place to pray, just to connect to God the Father. Are you doing that? See, that's a daily thing, but then on a weekly basis, one out of every 7 days, we need to be in this rhythm of Sabbath. Now, let me say this. I know this is hard. I've been reading about Sabbath for the past few years, and I've been trying, and I don't have this figured out yet. But here's what I try and do. I know that I have 52 tries every year, and so I try every 7 days. I try a little bit harder. I try to be more intentional about what that day looks like. I talk to Zoe all the time. Zoe, we've got to be Sabbath. Here's what we got to do. We got to get all this work done because on Sabbath, we can't do any work. And so, I don't want you to be discouraged. I just want you to try. I want to encourage you that in order for us to live the best life possible, let's just lean into this a little bit more. And understand that you get a reset every 7 days. In our passage, Mark chapter 2. So here we go. We're going to read through this. And in here, we're specifically talking about the Sabbath. This happens to be in the Jewish culture. Saturday, when what we're going to read is going to be Saturday morning. It started at Friday. Here they are going to temple on Saturday. And look what happens. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Isn't it interesting how exaggerated his critics are? How they're like they're trying to paint this picture that they're out there in the field with their sickles, you know, harvesting this big crop. Dude, they're just walking through, snapping heads off, eating the grain, giving them what will sustain them for that day. Maybe it's lunchtime, you know, maybe it's a snack, who knows? But we know that they're walking through, snapping off these tops, you know, eating this grain. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, people need the Sabbath, but people weren't created to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So, Jesus said to them, his critics, these Pharisees, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" And if you're taking notes, this is 1 Samuel chapter 21. So if you want to read this, what Jesus does is he summarizes it. And he summarizes it like this. He says, he, meaning David, King David, went into the house of God during the days of Abiathar, during the days when he was the high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. So here he's saying this hero from your ancient history, King David, went into the temple and he took this sacred bread on Sabbath that was only meant for the high priest, and he took it for his men to sustain them, to give them what they needed for that day. Then Jesus looks at him, and that's when he said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." So, and here's the point. "And so the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." You see what Jesus does here? Jesus, when he uses that phrase, Son of Man, what he does is he's telling all of them. He's saying, he's referring to himself. He's saying, "The Son of Man," he's saying, "I am Lord even over this holy day called the Sabbath. I am Lord over the Sabbath." Which leads me to this question. Because what he was really doing was talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to those who did not believe who he was. He's saying, "Do you believe? You here in this room, do you believe that Jesus really is Lord even over the Sabbath?" Oh yeah, you might be religious. You may go to church online or come in person right here, and you may do a lot of religious activity, but is Jesus really the Lord over your life? What he's saying is he is the Messiah, that he's the Savior, that it's only he who can give you rest for your souls. Oh, we need physical rest, but have you received rest for your soul? Here's the way that the writer in Hebrews put it. He says, "God's promise of entering his rest still stands," meaning it's still available. God's rest is still available. But here he says, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Have you failed to experience rest for your soul? Jesus is calling you to make him Savior of your life. So maybe for some of you online, maybe for some of you right here in this room, maybe what you need to do is to make Jesus the Savior, Lord, over your life. And that's why you might need to take this next step. And what you'd be saying is, hey, Rick, pray for me. I have never found rest in the one who created the Sabbath. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. If that's where you find yourself, then I would encourage you to do this. One, you could take your connection card. If you're in this room, take your connection card and let us know. And on your way out, drop it into the offering boxes. But if you're online, and you can even do this in this room, would you text this word trust? You can text this word trust to 401-496-9710. And if you text that to us, that will allow us to be able to connect with you. That will allow us, just follow the prompts in that reply, and we can help you to understand what it means to make Jesus Lord over your life. But back in our text, the text goes on, Mark continues to tell us about another example of Sabbath. So here's another example, another run-in with Sabbath. And in Mark chapter 3, here's what happens. Jesus went into the synagogue again. It was the Sabbath. And he noticed a man with a deformed hand. Here's what I want all of us to realize, that Jesus notices you. If you're at home, he can see you. He notices you. He knows where you are. He knows where you are right here in this room. He sees you. And then, since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Isn't that everyone's, that's their worst nightmare, to stand in front of a public crowd. Here, Jesus is calling this guy, hey, come here and stand in front of everybody, right? Everybody's eyes are on him. Everybody's wondering, what's he going to do? Ooh, he's going to heal him. Ooh, it's the Sabbath. Oh, we're going to accuse him if he works on the Sabbath. But look what happens. And then he turned to his critics and he asks a great question. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? You see, people were created for this need for Sabbath, but we weren't created to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. And here's this man who had this need, and Jesus is going to reach out and heal him. And his critics knew not to answer. Because they knew what the answer was. And he looked around at them angrily, meaning Jesus looks around, and there's this righteous indignation inside of him for a moment. Because they are rejecting him as Lord, as Savior, as Messiah. And he says, and that righteous indignation quickly turns into compassion. It was deeply saddened by their hardened hearts, because they had got so wound up in all of the requirements, they were missing the very fact that it's about Jesus being the Lord of your life. And then he told the man, hold out your hand. And so the man held out his hand, and it was restored. Do you have a need that needs to be restored? Jesus wants to restore you. Jesus wants to restore what it is in your life. I'm wondering, are you struggling with living the best life possible? That's why living the best life possible means living in this rhythm of Sabbath. In this rhythm of Sabbath, we have these four things. We have this idea that you just need to stop work, both paid and unpaid. That you also you need to enjoy rest and enjoy it. That it's okay to stop and know that you don't have to work to prove who you are. just enjoy taking that one day to just rest in who God is, and then to practice delight. Do something in the rhythm of your Sabbath, in that 24-hour block, do something that you love, that gives you energy, that helps propel you. Whether it is reading a book in a corner or on a couch, or whether it is doing a hike, hanging out with friends, what is it that you enjoy doing? But all along the way, it's about contemplating God. Starting your day contemplating God. Ending your day contemplating God. I want to read you this letter of how important this is in the life of a 17-year-old. There's a 17-year-old in high school who wrote this, her English paper, about the importance of how her family did Sabbath. And here's what her letter said. Every Saturday night at 6:30, my whole house is dark except for one small candle on the kitchen table. It casts a warm glow on the faces of those seated around my parents and siblings and commonly one or two guests. Covers are pulled off the enormous platters of food, and the aromas fill the air like a cool breeze on a summer night. This is how my family welcomes the Sabbath, a weekly ritual that we have had for about 10 years. It begins at 6 p.m. on Saturday and lasts until 6 p.m. on Sunday. She says this, it's so easy to get caught up in mixed messages around us. We need time to slow down as a family and keep in mind that our lives, what our lives are really about. The ritual of Sabbath keeping is a radical statement that we are not God, and we trust Him to hold the world together even if we stop one day each week. We turn off all of our phones and computers, and we refrain from watching TV. We replace them with activities that will build us up and bring us closer together as a family. This includes everything from playing a guitar, singing worship songs, to taking walks in the park, and appreciating the beauty of the autumn leaves, to playing games and just being silly. On Sunday mornings, we rise up early, rain or shine, pile into the van to make it to church by 9 a.m. Attending church serves as a reminder that we are part of a body of believers who are seeking a common goal. Sabbath is my favorite day of the week. If God chooses to give me a family someday, I will continue this ritual. The Sabbath brings peace, love, and order to our home and family, and the benefits carry even further. From a 17-year-old. Can we lean into this idea of living from a Sabbath? I want to pray for us. And here's what it is. Pray for me. What you're saying on when our team gathers this week, we will pray. You're saying, Rick, pray for me. I desire to live the best possible life ever by practicing the rhythm of a Sabbath daily, meaning that you'll be like Jesus and be isolated, start your day out being isolated with just you and God, but also that you're going to do your best to identify what day works best for you, to block out time for you to start this practice. Just take a step. Start the practice somehow. Maybe for you, it 24 hours is impossible right now, but take a step in this way. Will you do that? We want to pray for you that you would work in this rhythm of life, of Sabbath, so that you and I can live the best life possible. Let us know on that connection card. Drop it into the offering boxes. And the other way to let us know is, again, just by using that same phone number, but the key word there is pray. So if you're at home and you're watching, will you just text us right now? Pull out your phone. And we want to pray for you. You can let us know specific ways to pray for you, but let us know maybe what day you're going to shoot for to be able to live in this rhythm. And then we'll be praying for you. And that you could experience God resting in Him. And that you could delight. That that you could practice delight. Father, we all need this. God, you gave this all to all of those who call you Lord. You have asked us to set a day aside. In fact, Father, you did more than ask. You commanded it, that we need to take a day and set it aside for rest. And God, I pray that we will do a better job at living like this. God, I pray that in my own life, that I will do a better job at practicing Sabbath, living in that rhythm. And I pray that for our church family, for those here in the room, and for those who are at home. God, please be with us as we strive for more of you and less of us. Well, I pray this, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. In just a second, I want us to take 90 seconds. And I want us just to practice contemplating. This is something that you can do daily, or you can work this in to your practice of Sabbath. And this idea that I want you to contemplate actually will lead us right into communion. Today, we're going to have communion in a way that we've never had it before. You should, if you're in this room, you should have received prepackaged communion. And it is, let me explain it. There are two tiers on here. There's one little tier, you pull off the first one, and that wafer is underneath that. Pull off the second one, and now you've opened up your juice. So be careful when you do that, especially if you're wearing white, right? Get it all over you. So just notice there's two little tabs there. Separate the two, and you pull off the top one for the wafer, and then you pull off the second one for the juice. But before you do that, I want us to contemplate. Take 90 seconds to contemplate this idea. Contemplate the forgiveness that you have experienced because Jesus took your punishment. You see, that's what communion is all about. It's about remembering Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that you can live in forgiveness and be restored to God, just like the man with the deformed hand, and Jesus restored him. Physically, every one of us can be restored to Jesus, to God, spiritually, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then I want you to think about, as you contemplate the forgiveness in your own life, think about the consequences that should have in your life for others. Because communion is about making sure that we have a right relationship with God and that we have a right relationship with those around us. Are you living in a right relationship with God? And are you living in a right relationship with those around you? Contemplate that through this statement, 90 seconds. Father, thank you that we can experience forgiveness because of you, Jesus. Thank you for taking our sin. Thank you for taking our punishment for our sin on the cross so that we would not have to experience that if we would just make you Lord of our life, Lord, even over the Sabbath. Thank you for this gift of forgiveness and that we can be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. You truly are an amazing God that you would demonstrate your love to us like this. And we love you. And we remember it this morning as we take communion. We're thankful for the bread. We're thankful for the cup. Praise be to your name. Church, go ahead and take the bread. Thankfulness in your heart, take the cup and drink. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. On your way out, if you're in this room, on your way out, you can deposit these in the back. They have a place for you to put those. We're going to continue to tell God who He is through this song.
Savior's love through Trust in His righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in Savior's love through the storm.
It's been so good to be able to be here with you. Let's all stand. And if you're at home, thank you for joining us online. And we know that everyone can't fit into this space with the restrictions that we're under. So thank you to those of you who are joining